You heard how it went down. Now, time to sum it all up. This is Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
Here comes Holiday. Uh-oh. He's got Giannis in front. Look out below. The two-hand slam in transition as the Bucks lead by five.
Recap everything you need to know about this game right now.
Holiday with a rebound. Feeds out to Portis. He'll put up a three, but it's too late. And the streak is over.
Now, here's your host, your analyst, and your MC for the evening.
Make some noise!
Justin Garcia.
Yeah!
All right. The streak is over. The Bucks lose to the Pistons. And they lose to the Pistons on a night where Giannis plays, where Drew Holiday plays, where Chris Middleton plays. It's only the third time this season that trio is physically back on the floor, and the Bucks lose. All good things come to an end. We knew the Bucks would not win from here until the end of eternity against the Detroit Pistons, but this is not the way I envisioned it happening. 855-616-1620. 855-616-1620, the number to get in touch, to get in the queue, to hop on Bucks Talk and join us for the next hour. This loss against the Pistons, where the Bucks had Giannis, where the Bucks had Chris Middleton, where the Bucks had Drew Holiday, where the Pistons had no one, and had 12 players listed as out on the injury report. Now, four of those were in the G League. Five were G League or two-way players. But a lengthy injury report for the Pistons. Six players that just exited the league's health and safety protocols. Heard from Coach Dwayne Casey before the game. He wasn't sure what to expect from those six guys from his team overall, who had been run pretty ragged the last couple of games with that injury report, with players out, with having to double up and give guys extended minutes you normally wouldn't, with Sadiq Bey, as we heard from Coach Bud, really carrying this Pistons team the last couple of games. All of that seemed to point to a Bucks victory, and frankly, an easy Bucks victory when you look at the history between these two teams. But not so fast. I guess that's why they play the games, as the Pistons come here and beat the Bucks in a surprising turn of events, 115-106. This loss against the Pistons reminded you of what? 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line, if you want to text in your comp or give us a call and get in the queue here on Bucks Talk. Let's just start and get the elephant out of the room here. There was a lot that seemed off about this game tonight. Giannis seemed off in the second half. For most of this game, Drew Holiday and Giannis were really the only two guys contributing much of anything offensively. In that first half, it was Giannis and Chris that were basically doing everything for this team. Giannis and Drew, excuse me. There was a stretch in this game as well where Giannis and Drew Holiday had scored, I believe, 38 points. And the Bucks as a team were up to 48. That tells you everything you needed to know about the first half, especially, but what we saw unfold in all 48 minutes of this game. You needed a big performance from someone outside of Giannis or Drew Holiday, and you just didn't get it. Chris Middleton in his return to the floor, just 3 of 10, scored 10 points. Bobby Portis had 10 points and 8 rebounds at halftime. Did get a double-double, but in the second half, Bobby Portis scores just 2 points and has 6 rebounds. Grayson Allen, another game where Grayson Allen struggled and a lot of good, clean looks that didn't fall. He wasn't the only one. Chris Middleton goes 1 of 6 on threes. Grayson Allen goes 1 of 8 on threes. George Hill with some clean looks as well. He goes 0 of 5. Up and down this roster, it was just guys that struggled shooting the basketball. And some of those comments we heard after the game from Coach Mike Budenholzer, as he said bluntly, not Chris's best night. Everyone tonight could have played better. Got some good looks. The ball just didn't go in. And as Bud said, look, this is rare. We're not going to have many games like this that guys shoot at that low of a percentage. Give credit to the Pistons, but you put this one behind you and you move on. The Bucks had a handful of these games last year. We talked about this as soon as things went off the air, myself and Dave and Ben here on the Bucks Radio Network. We saw a handful of these games last year. And the story that we learned last year is The playoffs matter. The regular season, I'm not going to say it doesn't matter, but you quickly move past games like this and forget about these when you're a team that has won an NBA championship, when you're a team that silenced doubters and exercised demons and played differently in the postseason. These games are not as significant, and these games don't fester and create doubt as you move into the postseason. So that's the nice thing. But something has looked off with a handful of these guys in the last couple of games. Not Drew Holiday, not Giannis. Grayson Allen and Chris Middleton are the two guys the Bucks really need to get kick-started here, and they've really experienced some struggles of late. Pat Connaughton's another guy. I wouldn't say Pat struggled, but 22 minutes tonight for Pat. We've seen Pat Connaughton logging heavy minutes early in the season, and we heard Coach Budenholzer talking about, you know, some of the minutes we've been having to play Pat when you think back to early in the season with Shemi out, with Bobby out, with Giannis out, with Chris out at times. You've had to play these guys. Before DeMarcus Cousins arrived, you had to play guys like Pat Connaughton a lot of minutes. So I think now the end result is we're seeing Bud try to put things back into place and taking it easy on some of those minutes for Pat Connaughton, for DeMarcus Cousins, for Wesley Matthews. But you needed something tonight. This, to me, seems like the night where it was pretty evident you really needed Dante DiVincenzo. That's who the Bucks missed the most in this performance tonight. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. You missed Dante DiVincenzo physically, but the guy the Bucks really missed, Chris Middleton. You missed that performance from Chris that we've seen so many times against this Detroit Pistons team. And just as that guy on the same level as Drew Holiday, getting that consistent offense, and it just evaded the Bucks tonight, and it's evaded Chris Middleton on and off throughout this early part of the season. A couple of reasons why that may be the case. We'll get to that in a moment. But this loss against the Pistons, it reminds you of what? We'll take your comparisons. Also, the significance of two dates very close to each other on the calendar, and our play of the game, stat of the game. Weren't many plays of the game that included the Bucks. Our stat of the game. All of that to get to and more. But again, the number to get in touch with us tonight, 855-616-1620 on the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this. It's Bucks Talk presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Cunningham spins the other way, hands off into traffic, and it's going to be intercepted. Here comes Holiday.
Uh-oh.
He's got Giannis in front. Look out below. The two-hand slam in transition as the Bucks lead by five.
Bucks fall to the Pistons here at Fiserv Forum, so the 16-game win streak against the Pistons, including the playoffs, it is over. More surprising result here, Greg. You're a big fan of both of these, professional basketball and collegiate basketball, I believe, and the sweet science that is professional wrestling and the art inside the squared circle. More surprising outcome, the Bucks losing at home when they have their big three of Giannis and Chris and Drew, and the Pistons have no one the casual fan could name on their roster outside of maybe Cade Cunningham. That result, or Brock Lesnar ending the Undertaker's WrestleMania undefeated streak, because I felt the same way as soon as the clock struck zero tonight.
That sort of sinking feeling in your gut, that blood.
21-1, seeing 21-1 flash on the scoreboard in Louisiana at WrestleMania 30 and seeing 115-106 and the Pistons above that 115, I had the same feeling.
Yeah, it's not a good feeling, and I don't think there's anything analytical to back that up other than the final score.
Well, you know what they say about box scores. I mean, that is the ultimate analytics tool, and that was certainly the case for the Pistons tonight. Speaking of tools, analytics, and box scores, what a segue into our stat of the game.
Nicely done.
Everybody in here, stat.
I know you all like stats, so let me give you some.
Boss, here's our stat for the day.
Okay, we have this shtick where I will throw out four or five statistics and say, well, I could say this, Greg. I mean, I could say Sadiq Bey continues to be an absolute assassin for the Pistons leading into the new year here. 32 points that he had against the Knicks a couple of days ago for a career high. He scored 34 tonight, which is a new career high. He hit 8 threes. That could certainly be a stat. Josh Jackson hit 5 threes. He scored 24 points. He had some big, big moments for the Pistons. That could certainly be a stat of the game. Pistons had 5 players in double figures. Bucks only had 4. That's not a great stat. Pistons hit 18 threes. Bucks hit just 11. Also not great. Also not great. 21 second chance points on 9 offensive rebounds. The number is ridiculous, and it was a lot worse in the first half, where I believe it was 13 second chance points off of 4 offensive rebounds, which tells you they're getting the offensive rebounds and they're hitting threes with those numbers. None of those are the stat of the game. The stat of the game is 115-106 because the Pistons finally beat the Bucks. It is unbelievable. They did it on a night where Giannis plays, where Drew plays, where Chris plays. I don't know how much more to put this into words, but I cannot believe the Pistons came here and beat the Bucks. That, unfortunately, is our stat of the game. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. These names on this Pistons roster, and look, we kid because we care. Credit to the Pistons. They played extremely well for 48 minutes, and that's what you leave with your takeaway from this game. The Pistons came here, they played hard, and they did it all game long. Never folded, never faded at any moment when the Bucks went on a couple of runs, and you thought, okay, this is starting to feel a lot like the game on Saturday against the Pelicans, where we all, in one of our kind of pre-broadcast meetings, talked about, what should we expect from this game? And this was on Saturday against New Orleans. And the consensus was, look, this is going to go one of two ways. Bucks are going to come out and just dominate this Pelicans team. Or it's going to be, you know, a somewhat close first half, and it's going to be competitive, and then the second half the Bucks will pull away. And that's exactly what we saw. Coming into today, I was going to say I felt the same way, or I did not feel the same way. I did feel the same way. You looked at the injury report for the Pistons. You knew, okay, there's this, there's the Raptors. I mean, everything is kind of set up for the Bucks to have another 8-game win streak, get ready to go on the road. A couple of tests. You got the Brooklyn Nets. You got 2 against the Hornets, 1 over the weekend, 1 on Monday. Like, things are shaping up for the Bucks to keep climbing in the conference, to keep winning here at home, to keep looking like that team we saw in the playoffs last year. You had no reason to believe the Pistons were capable of doing this, or this group of Pistons players was capable of doing this. And there was more and more that was added to the equation before the game. 6 players coming out of health and safety protocols for the Detroit Pistons. Dwayne Casey saying, you know, we had a practice yesterday. Thought it was a good practice, but it's tough to gauge where our guys are at. 6 guys came out of protocols. I don't know where the conditioning is. We only went through a practice. I don't know how long I'm going to be able to play those guys or how much run I'm going to be able to give them. It's probably going to be short spurts of minutes for a lot of these guys. A lot of praise for the Bucks, and look, these are the things the Bucks do well. This is why it's tough to beat them. He talked about Cade Cunningham's struggles early in the season, and you know, I think overall we've seen some growth, but he's turning it over a lot. He's making a lot of decisions off his feet. We want to see him clean some of these things up. And all of these things start to add up where you're looking at the injury report, you're hearing Dwayne Casey speak, you're looking at your injury report, and yes, there's more names than there's been recently, but you say, man, those 3 guys are still playing, and this is still the Detroit Pistons. We should, and I expect, will win this game. So a very surprising final result here in Milwaukee as the Pistons break on through and snap a 16-game losing streak against the Bucks. That is Detroit Lions type of stuff, and the domination that the Packers had against the Lions in Wisconsin for all of those years kind of feels like what we've seen transpire here between the Bucks and the Pistons for the last 3-plus years. And the Pistons finally, mercifully bring an end to that, winning against the Bucks for the first time in 17 tries, 115 to 106. So when was the last time the Pistons beat the Bucks? And when was the last time the Pistons beat the Bucks in Milwaukee? We have the date for both of those instances and some numbers that stand out there, which just shine a light on how surprising this result was tonight. The Pistons come to Milwaukee and beat the Bucks, ending the 6-game win streak and overall the 16-game win streak in the series between the two teams. More after this on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Holiday's got it at the top of the arc. No shot clock. He's defended by Luka Garza again. He's going to step back, fire up a three, and he hits it with 2.3 seconds to go. Here in the third, it's a two-point game.
Man, Jrue Holiday was great tonight. And Jrue Holiday has been great for the Bucks all season long. Look, we haven't had this full discussion or discourse yet this season, but Jrue Holiday needs to be an all-star. And you can take it a step further. The way he has played in the last 9 games for this Bucks team, the way he's played this season overall, but especially in these 9 games where he's gotten more and more comfortable, and he's really become the number two on this team. And that is not a knock on Chris Middleton. It's just the level of play that Jrue Holiday is at this season. He is a deserving all-star. He has been for years, but Jrue Holiday, frankly, should be in the starting five for the All-Star game this season. I have a hard time believing he won't be there, at least getting the coach's vote or the peer vote for Holiday when you consider in Ben Simmons and Kyrie Irving out of the mix. And I know what Clutch Sports is attempting to do, which is shameful, and touting Ben Simmons for an All-Star appearance. If Ben Simmons gets a fan vote, yeah, exactly.
That's just gross, man. Come on.
Well, look, if the fans are going to vote Ben Simmons into the All-Star game as just the ultimate display of irony, fine. I mean, you move on, and I'm sure Ben Simmons, at least, you know what, I shouldn't say I'm sure. I would hope, if that's the case, Ben Simmons himself is like, I'm not going to the All-Star game. I'm not going to play. I appreciate the vote, but I'm taking myself out of it. But, I mean, the fact that Clutch Sports is coming out here and leading this campaign of, hey, put Ben Simmons in the All-Star game, it's ridiculous.
Are we that bored?
No Ben Simmons.
Like, are we that bored?
No Ben Simmons, we think. Well, I don't know. Have you seen Tristan Thompson's Twitter?
I am not even touching that.
I think we are that bored. No Ben Simmons, we think. No Kyrie Irving, for sure, in the All-Star game. It opens up the door for Jrue Holiday by those two being out right there. I don't know if he's going to be in the starting lineup, but Jrue Holiday, at this point, I think it's close to a guarantee that Jrue Holiday is going to be an all-star. You're seeing more and more of support for Jrue around the league. I've said this before, that for the first 2 years of Bud's tenure here, last year, the talk was all about the team as a whole of, hey, what are you guys going to do differently? Or how did you approach this season? And what are some of the changes? And what prompted you to trade for Jrue Holiday? Like, those are the generic questions that Coach Budenholzer would field from the opposing reporters every time a new team came into Milwaukee. The first 2 years that Bud was here, the questions were always centered around Giannis. And, you know, hey, coach, what have you learned the most from Giannis? Or what's impressed you the most from Giannis? Or what's the part of Giannis's game that has surprised you the most or you think he does best? And it was all those types of questions. For a year and a half or 2 years, it was all Giannis. Giannis, Giannis, Giannis. This year, it's all been Jrue Holiday. That everyone that comes in, their questions to Bud are always about Jrue Holiday. The opposing coaches that we go in and hear from before each game, most of the time our local beat reporters, Jim and Eric and Zora even, on the Bucks telecast. Everybody, Lisa and Dave, all the questions to the opposing coach, and especially if it's like we saw on Saturday with the Pelicans, a coach like Willie Green, who played against, or in Willie Green's case, with Jrue Holiday, you get a lot of Jrue Holiday questions to the opposing coach. So just hearing opposing coaches all year round talk about Jrue Holiday and some of the things that Jrue Holiday does well, I take these notes before every game on what coaches say about these players, Greg, and these notes this year have always become Drew Holiday driven. Today actually was the first time it wasn't, where it was Dwayne Casey, kind of some of the things we talked about in the last segment there, basically saying, look, I don't know what to expect from my team tonight, that we just got six guys back, we got more guys that are out, I don't know how long I can play these guys, I don't know where their cardio is at, I don't know how much I'm going to be able to run them, I don't know what to expect from, you know, some of these matchups we have, we're going to have to play small. Cade Cunningham's been turning the ball over. He's been making too many passes, getting off his feet and making the wrong read. These are all things that young guys do. We expect him to get better, but, oh, by the way, we're playing against Drew Holiday, so this could not be good. Tonight was the first time in a couple of weeks that all of these lines of questions and the coach's overall basically opening statement here wasn't centered around Drew Holiday. And this one, the Bucks' specific notes were Dwayne Casey talking about the differences with Giannis as the five this year opposed to Giannis playing four and being the guy that can come over as the weak side help. He's the five and the guy that is the rim protector and how you got to scheme differently and figure out how do we attack this. So this was a nice change of pace where it wasn't just, hey, coach, talk about Drew Holiday for a couple of minutes. But Willie Green, over the weekend, Drew Holiday, one of those guys, you got to see it to believe. You got to watch him at all times because he makes a play and he impacts the game with or without the ball. He does it on both sides of the floor. He's physical. He defends multiple positions. You can't be loose and careful with the ball, not only when he's defending you, but just when he's on the floor. He has a knack for getting there. And Willie Green specifically citing the left hand for Drew Holiday. We got to take it away from him. We know he can use both hands, but specifically when he goes to his left, that's when we get in trouble. I mean, think back to Ime Udoka and what he talked about with Holiday, that he's the premier defender in the league in terms of perimeter guys. He can pressure the ball. He blows up a lot of actions. We got to find where he is at all times, and he's so disruptive that he's an equal part of the game plan, as is Giannis for this team. Jason Kidd had the same things to say about how difficult it is scheming against Drew Holiday with the way that he can defend and switch from the backcourt into the frontcourt and do all this. So year after year, game after game, we've heard the opposing coaches talk about Drew Holiday. When the Bucks acquired Drew Holiday, we played it on this show, played it on a lot of shows on TMJ. The just montage of Steph Curry, Damian Lillard, Kevin Durant, Bradley Beal, CJ McCollum, just every player in the league, you name it, saying Drew Holiday on the All the Smoke podcast, JJ Redick. Drew Holiday is the most underrated player in the league. He's a guy that can do everything. He's a guy that, you know, the average fan just does not realize how good Drew Holiday is. So coaches know it. Players know it. And now with two big pieces out of the All-Star game, we think Drew Holiday it has to be close to a lock for the All-Star game this season. I mean, if Drew Holiday doesn't make the All-Star game this year, and the Bucks finally lose to the Pistons in the span of, what, a month and a half? I mean, I don't know if I can go on anymore, Greg. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage talk and text line. 855-616-1620. Still time to get in touch with us tonight on Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices. So, 16-game win streak comes to an end. The last time the Detroit Pistons beat the Milwaukee Bucks was February 28th, 2018. It's not quite this date in Bucks history, but it's close to this date. February 28th. Dude, you can keep it going. February 28th, 2018. Last time they, almost 3 years ago to the day, sort of, kind of, close. How many players, I mean, we talk about this Pistons team now and say, hey, look at some of these names. Sadiq Bey. Sabin Lee. Oh, by the way, Justin Robinson, who's on his third team already this season. Luka Garza, who I'm going to steal this from a colleague of ours and friend of mine that tweeted it earlier. But, I mean, Luka Garza fits that he looks like he should be a villain from a Rocky movie. And that's the guy playing center for the Pistons tonight, Trey Lyles. And you think, man, where were Trey Lyles? That sounds familiar. Yes, it's the same Trey Lyles. Rodney Magruder on the roster but did not play tonight. Micah Potter of Badgers fame on this Pistons team and played 2 minutes, and he unfortunately got in front of Giannis at one point in the first half. Josh Jackson, I mean, that's this version of the Pistons. Hamidou Diallo. On February 28th, 2018, when the Pistons last beat the Bucks, this was a Bucks team. This was the final year of the Jason Kidd experiment, although this was Joe Prunty at this time. I was going to run through some of these Pistons players, but, I mean, the Pistons had a team full of names that you would recognize. That was the Andre Drummond and Reggie Bullock and Blake Griffin, Ish Smith, James Ennis. I mean, it's a ridiculous list, but they had names you'd recognize. Langston Galloway, Dwight Bikes of Marquette fame, Stanley Johnson, a former Buck, Luke Kennard, Henry Ellenson. Oh, by the way, Jameer Nelson on that team as well. This Bucks team that lost to the Pistons the last time they lost. Sean Kilpatrick, you remember that name? Xavier Munford, Tyler Zeller, DJ Wilson. Tony Snell did not play in the game. Sterling Brown started. Sterling Brown and John Henson started for the Bucks the last time they lost to the Pistons. That tells you all you need to know about this series between these two teams. But if you want to go back even further, there's something about the last week of February with these two teams, because the last time the Pistons beat the Bucks in Milwaukee was February 27th, 2016, 6 years ago. And you know what? We keep saying 3 years. It's 3+ years that you keep making the adjustment of. It's 2022 now. So it's almost 4 years since the Bucks lost to the Pistons. Well, it's almost 6 years since they lost to the Pistons in Milwaukee. The last time the Bucks lost to the Pistons, they started Sterling Brown and John Henson. Well, the last time the Bucks lost to the Pistons in Milwaukee, they started O.J. Mayo and Miles Plumlee. Those two sentences basically describe the series between these two teams. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. 16 games. The win streak is over as the Bucks fall to the Pistons here at Fiserv Forum. And it's the first time, I mean, if you do the math and you do the numbers in your head, first time the Pistons have won inside this building. 855-616-1620, the Acunet Mortgage Talk and Text Line. More after this. We'll tweet through our feelings next. It's Bucks Talk, presented by Gruber Law Offices.
Inbound pass to Holiday. Holiday's trying to go to work inside, banging around. He just powers his way right over Justin Robinson and floats it up and in.
Drew Holiday was good again tonight. I mean, if we want to nitpick, Drew Holiday and Giannis, look, they seem to carry the team for the first 40 or so minutes. And then I think we just saw the effects of not getting much help throughout this game. It wasn't a great game for this team, certainly as a whole, as the Pistons, with just the duo of Sadiq Bey and Josh Jackson. Those two players alone hit more threes than the Bucks' entire team tonight. Sadiq Bey goes 8 of 13. Josh Jackson goes 5 of 7. So combined, a 13 of 20 performance from that duo. And the Bucks hit just 11 threes on 46 attempts. And the 16-game win streak against the Pistons is no more, as the Bucks lose at home, 115-106. Still one game left on the homestand. It is Wednesday against the Toronto Raptors. We will preview that matchup when we put the Raptors in the sights. But there's a lot of feels going on right now, Greg, and a lot of emotions that a lot of us don't know how to deal with when you see your team lose to the Detroit Pistons, a team that it felt like you would never, ever lose to. Look, Sterling Brown and John Henson started for the Bucks the last time they lost to the Pistons. A lot of us aren't really sure how to process what happened tonight. And what better way than to just work through these feelings? We'll do them on the talk and text line, 855-616-1620.
Yes, Justin, What if there's a solution to feeling sad? If there's anything we can do, it's
feeling mad.
No. It's texting through it. I encourage Bucks Talk fans, listeners of the like, to do this after every loss, and hopefully it will make you feel better. Much like our listener from the 262. They lead off the show, and we're going to timestamp this, by the way. 10-11. Bucks sucked. All right. Pretty well put. 10-14. Everyone sucked. Plenty of room for improvement. A positive spin on the loss. I like it. 10-16.
Wait, did he added plenty of room for improvement?
Yes, that was in the same.
Or he or she.
He or she, yes.
He or she,
just the 262 said everyone sucked, plenty of room for improvement at 10-14. So maybe you thought to yourself, okay, this is possibly, you know, it could be getting better. 10-16. This game made me sick. All right, we're back. And then at 10-20, everything sucked tonight. In fact, at 10-22, you suck. I don't know who that was to. Maybe it was to you. Maybe it was to me. Maybe it was to a player. By the way, it was just the letter U. Suck. 10-26. Yo, come on. 10 to agree. I'm not sure what we're talking about, but I tend to agree. 10-27. A mere 60 seconds later. 1953.56. Again, don't know how to interpret that. Maybe it's just a butt text. It can happen. Emotions are running wild. Same number, 10-31, 4 minutes later. Bucks sucked. All right, we're back. We're back to how we all feel. Some point I agree with the texter at 10-33. Anyone who votes for Ben Simmons is an idiot. We have some consensus. We've reached it. However, 5 minutes later at 10:38, yo, stupid. Again, I don't know if they're trying to call us out.
Wait a minute.
Trying to get
how
our
did they spell? How did they spell stupid?
Oh, they spell because because why? Sorry, keep going.
Well, no. Just how do they spell it?
Right, correctly. S-T-U-P-I-D.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
If they would have spelled it S-T-O-O-P-I-D, they just shot up in my book.
There's always room for the next loss. 10:38, yo, stupid. 10:39, question mark. 10:39 again, another question mark. Separate text message. And then at 10:43, we bookend the text with a text that just says Luke Kornet. So listen, yes. We all feel it was a tough loss. Okay.
Oh, Wait a minute.
Yes.
This is kind of like when the operator tells you the call is coming from inside the house. We don't think the texts are coming from Luke Kornet, do we?
Good.
Man, I can't help but notice Luke Kornet did not get on the floor tonight.
Maybe that's what that text message means. Maybe it's Luke saying, hey, if I put my name in the post-game show, people are going to listen and they're going to want me to play. Can't take away from Leah in Wind Lake, who also texted the almost 4 years when you were discussing the last time the Bucks lost to the Pistons with said lineup. Oh, no, we're here. Live updates. 10:51 from the 262. Another question mark. So that's where we stand. Listen, folks, it's a tough loss. I understand. But there is always something we can do. And if it comes a tough loss, your place is to come to Bucks Talk and we can text through it. Wow.
I mean, look, number one, first and foremost, I'm very curious to know if this texter thinks the poor performance extended into the post-game show and the network radio broadcast, and if he thinks me and Ben and Dave or all of us also did a poor job when he said everyone. But I'm almost inclined to do a wellness check on them and just see where are we at. I mean, maybe a you up text.
That could come and let me. I'm not even going to be at the station if there's a you up text being sent. Let's make that clear. I will pull an all-nighter, but not here. But no, I think this is a good exercise because, frankly, I feel better as the show wraps up. I can't help but to just assume that the 262 feels better. And I think that we all collectively gathered, got our emotions out there, and we successfully texted through it. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, we're here. For the 262,
always.
Yeah, we got 7 minutes left, so still a little bit of time to hear from them. I'm curious if we get a double question mark text here in the next 7 minutes.
Double down! But,
look, I don't know if some of us around the team and on the beat and doing what I'm doing now, if we need to wear this one. But it's funny, Greg. I kind of feel like partial blame kind of lies at my feet, and a few others I will not name. But before the game, we were all having a discussion. There was about, let's see, rhymes with cave, rhymes with Nisa, rhymes with Derek, rhymes with Tim. There were about five or six of us that were all having the discussion. I didn't give any names.
No,
there.
But you did. But you did. You know what you did.
We were all having a discussion of, I can't believe how mellow it's been this year, that this team is third best record. They were 11th early on because of the injuries. They've had the easiest schedule, and they're not running away with the East. I can't believe how mellow it's been in the Twitter sphere, on social media, out there on the airwaves among Bucks fans. And it's almost like winning a championship has calmed them down. And you kind of feel like at times you got to look for something to complain about, but really, what is it this year? And we have that conversation. And let's see, that was 5:30-ish, and 5 hours later, 4 hours later, the Bucks lose to the Detroit Pistons for the first time in 17 games. So I don't know if that's the universe's way of evening things out and saying, hang on a second. We still control things here. You don't get to dictate that things are all fine and dandy and there's nothing to complain about. We'll give you something to complain about, because I kind of feel like that's what happened. .855-616-1620 is the number to get in touch with us in the final few minutes of the program, especially if you're in the 262 or know the whereabouts and the current state of emotions for our texter from the 262, who was having a rough go of things after the Bucks lost to the Pistons. But that, to me, what we said just a couple of minutes ago tells you all you need to know. And thank you as well to the texter that pointed out, as we corrected as well, 4 years. It's basically been 4 years since the Bucks lost to the Pistons. I kept saying three, but oh, by the way, it's already 2022. Last time the Bucks lost to the Pistons, Sterling Brown and John Henson started for the Bucks in that game. Tyler Zeller played. Xavier Munford played. Sean Kilpatrick played for the Bucks, by the way. And the last time they lost in Milwaukee, O.J. Mayo started in the game. That's how far we've come in this rivalry of sorts between the Bucks and the Detroit Pistons. The Raptors are up next for the Bucks, and look, this is an interesting part of the schedule because the Bucks have, by the numbers, played the easiest schedule in the NBA so far this season. It doesn't feel like that because they've been injured, and some of those relatively easy teams tonight was supposed to be an easy opponent and an easy win, but some of those, it hasn't felt like that because of the injuries and the players that the Bucks have been down for most of this season. But starting on New Year's Day, the Bucks had 16 of their first 25 games of the calendar year here at Fiserv Forum. Now, 13 of those 25 are against teams 500 or better. But I believe it was 7 of those 13 were against teams that were one or two games above 500. So, in other words, just okay teams. You're not talking about the teams like 500 or better and really good teams. It's not quite the level of competition the Bucks are drawing here, that the schedule does get more difficult. But the tough stuff, it really doesn't come until March. So while it does get more difficult, this is still a golden opportunity, and it was tonight, but it is still a golden opportunity for this Bucks team to work on some of those things, to hopefully start to hit some open shots, to continue to tinker with the defense. We heard Coach Budenholzer talk about that a little bit before the game, but what you need to know is in March, strap it on. 9 of 14 games are on the road, and those road games, of those 9 road games, the Bulls, the Warriors, the Jazz, the Memphis Grizzlies, who we thought helped you out tonight, well, did help you out, but doesn't feel like it, by beating and dismantling the Brooklyn Nets. So you got the Bulls, the Warriors, the Jazz, the Grizzlies, the 76ers, and the Nets. Those are all your road opponents in March. So you got to win these games. That's what made tonight disappointing. It was a winnable game. It's a game you should have won. You got to get as many of these as you can, because once you get to March, it is going to be a lot more difficult. We think Wednesday is another one of these games, with the Toronto Raptors coming to town and the Bucks wrapping up this homestand. Almost said road trip. With the Bucks wrapping up this homestand, the Raptors currently 10th in the Eastern Conference. They're below 500. So not one of those teams that's above 500 for the Bucks that they're going to have to contend with. So another winnable game for the Bucks. Going to have to take care of business on Wednesday in another 7 o'clock tip. And as always, we'll be back on this very same station Wednesday following the game with more Bucks talk. My thanks to Greg for producing the program. My thanks to the 262 texter as well. And we hope you're doing much better tonight. And all of you for hanging out for the last hour. We will talk to you again Wednesday night with more Bucks talk presented by Gruber Law Office.